In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people, Israel, from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the holy water, the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water and sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that, made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 122 responsively with me. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'"
"Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem."
"Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together."
"To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord."
"For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David."
"Pray for the
peace be within your walls and security within your towers."
"For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, 'Peace be within you.'"
"For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." The second reading is from Romans, the 13th chapter. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of our Lord. So those of you that's been in the military will know a little bit about this story. At 5 in the morning, hear this strange voice. Well, some of us it's strange, some of us not. He sticks his head through the tent and yells real loud. And it's the platoon sergeant says, "Wake up, no lollygagging around. You got 5 minutes. You got to get ready for formation, and you got to be battle ready. We're all dead asleep." Some of us had the unfortunate opportunity to be up at midnight after lights were out at 10, and we had 2 hours of guard duty. Some of us from 2 to 4, some of us from 10 to midnight. You know how that goes, and once you've done guard duty for a couple hours, it's hard to get laid back down and go to sleep. So we're rustling around at 5 in the morning. It's dark. Don't have no lights because we're not allowed to. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And we're trying to get all of our gear ready to go, getting our uniforms, getting our battle gear, getting our boots. And we're trying to get out in formation, you know, in 5 minutes. Well, everybody's got all their gear. We're all running out the formation. There's about 40 of us. And half of us are got all of our stuff in our hands, and we're trying to run out, get formation, getting our boots on, trying to get them tied, get our helmets on, you know, our gear on and stuff like that while we're in formation, trying to get ready, and we're standing there. And we're waiting. And waiting. And still waiting. You know, the military's most famous words, our best phrase in the world, hurry up and wait. Well, you know, that 5 minutes is almost impossible to do, but we're doing it. We're scrambling around, we get it done, we're tired, we're all wore out. Plus, we're confused because we haven't heard anything before. And after about 40 minutes, we're standing there waiting for what's next. You know, we've done what we were told to do. We might have been about 30 seconds late, but we're there. We're there. We're ready. Let's do this, whatever it is. Well, by this time, we're getting frustrated. Some of us are getting angry. But most of all, we're all getting out of focus. So whatever it is, instead of being focused on whatever it is that's next, you know, when they say battle ready, you know, our mindset's going one direction. Well, we're getting out of that. And you got to rely on the buddy next to you in the military for whatever happens. Well, that's all gone astray. Well, some of us are even worried that what we were supposed to be ready for, something else might have happened and caused a problem, which might have delayed our initial game plan. So things might have changed. So about 20 minutes later, we finally get word that we were heading out somewhere, but it's probably going to be later that day, probably another 7-8 hours. So we are to go back to our tents, but we're not to down all of our gear. We're supposed to stay in our gear, but we're to go back to our tents, but be relaxed, but ready. Well, how do you do that? You don't. But it does make it a little easier to know, since we do have some type of a time frame. Hopefully, things don't change again. Well, all the hurry up and wait games, those stink. You know, it always has, the whole time in the military, and even, you know, even civilian life. You know, there's always jobs, it's always a hurry up and wait game. You know, because sometimes your upper echelons don't even know what they're doing. And if you are one of those upper echelon people, I'm sorry to say, but it does. It stinks. So know what you're doing before you tell people to hurry it up. You know what you're doing beforehand. You know, it's just like with the disciples in this last story. They asked Jesus, when will all this happen? And like in the third verse, when will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? What was his response? No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Well, after hearing this and similar answers like it, the disciples must have been frustrated as well. Think about it. They keep getting told the same similar answers in different ways, though. You know, they were Jesus' best friends. They were his posse, you know. They were his right-hand man. Surely, they thought Jesus would give them some type of a clue, you know, or tell them something, give them some idea so they'd know what to prepare for. The longer they wait, the more anxious or frustrated they must be getting. They have to be. I know I was. The more I waited, the more frustrated I got. We too were frustrated. But it was a different kind of frustration. We had waited, what, hours? The disciples, they've been told this for months, some of them even longer. Yet no answer. The disciples also were told, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came. And then it took them all away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Nobody knows when the end will be. With that being said, at least we have an advantage over the disciples. Well, at least I think so. We have had the opportunity to read, hear, and study the gospel. We've had the time, the resources, We've had family support. We've had a church support system and so on. All that to help us learn, understand, and to be given the opportunity to believe and to have faith in the cross and our Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples, on the other hand, even though they were living through this whole ordeal, which that would have been kind of cool too, they didn't have the support system and the resources we have. That's our advantage. We still don't know the day or the hour, no matter what kind of scientists we have, mathematicians we have, or how many calendars or whatever we have out there that might tell us a date. Nobody really knows for sure. But here's some good news for all of us. In Romans, it said, as we wait, salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we first became believers. Remember that. We are closer now than what it was when we first became believers. Our most recent saints from First Lutheran Church has come to answer that question themselves. Gene Hayes, Gene Taylor, and Dahl Cass. They found their day and hour. When the good Lord called them home, they know their day and hour. They got their answer. And all the saints before them got their days and their hours. And now they're home waiting for the rest of us. If we did know the day or the hour of the second coming of Christ, what would we be doing right now? How would we act? Who would be taking care of us? Who would we be taking care of also? Where would our money really be going? How about thinking about this? If you knew that someone was going to break into your house at 1 o'clock in the morning tonight, would you go about your evening as if nothing was going to happen? You go to bed, set your alarm for whatever time you get up in the morning, as usual, get ready for work. And when the alarm goes off, you get up, turn your lights on, and still be shocked. Oh my gosh, somebody robbed us last night. Oh, that's right, somebody was going to do that at 1 o'clock in the morning. Wow, they still did it. Or would you prepare yourself? Would you turn all the lights off?
No, I'd go to my daughter's.
Would you hide all of your prized possessions, send the kids or grandkids off somewhere else to stay the night, maybe even call the police to have them wait, or sit by the door or wherever they're going to break in a chair with your favorite weapon of choice? Not going to say what it is, whether it's a hand or whatever. And wait for them to surprise them. I'm sure we would. I know I would. God gives us free will to live our lives the way we want to live. God gives us laws to live by or commandments, but he also forgives us for our shortcomings by grace through faith. God wants us to live Christ-like because God wants us to live Christ-like because he wants us to, not because there is a timeline, and either that timeline doesn't matter to us, or I can wait till tomorrow, or closer to that end time before I start living Christ-like. Or even, I've got plenty of time. I'll wait and see if my prayers get answered first. Then I'll make the decision if I'm going to act that way or not. If I've got X amount of years before I have to worry about any of that, I can do whatever I want now, and I can ask for the forgiveness later. We got grace, why not? Well, okay, maybe that's why he didn't want to tell anybody, or maybe that's why he's waiting. But in the past, he never told anybody and waited till the end and did it the right way, cleared it all out, and it seemed to work pretty good. But throughout all this, there's still some more good news here. First of all, we had salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we first became believers. Now, even though we don't know the day or the hour, what we do know is there is going to be a second coming of Christ. We do know he is coming back. So we're closer to the salvation than what we were when we first became believers. So every day we wake up, we know we're one day closer. Number two, we know he's coming back. So there's a couple of things here that we can be happy for. To me, that's excitement. I don't know about y'all, but that's excitement right there. So with all that excitement, what should we do with it? All this time, that gap between when we first became believers and that day or hour when Jesus comes again. Now what? What do we do? Should we wait around? Keep doing what we're doing? I got a better question. How do we wait? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. How do we wait? The end of the gospel reading today says the Son of Man will come when we do not expect him. Should we start waiting unexpectedly then? We can wait and then, boom, surprise, I'm here. Uh-oh. Just like it said, one will go, one will stay. That doesn't mean that Mike and Kathy is going to be sitting there and he's going to take one of them and leave the other one here. No, that's not what that whole part meant. What that part really meant was he was going to weed the good from the bad. He was going to take the good and leave the bad. That was just a parable that he was using to describe what he was doing. He was going to take one and leave one. It doesn't mean that two people were going to be there and he was going to take one of the two and leave the other one behind. That really meant that the good was going to go, the bad was going to stay. So how do we make sure that we're one of the ones that he takes and not one of that he leaves? Should we start waiting unexpectedly? Right now, I think we're all doing that anyhow. We're waiting unexpectedly. Because between the time we became believers until right now, we're waiting. We don't know when. So maybe we should start asking a different question. Maybe we should start asking the question, how do we wait expectantly instead of unexpectedly? Perhaps this is our call to prepare and to be ready. Just like when we got that call early in the morning in the tent and we waited around not knowing anything. Then our first sergeant came back and told us that, yes, we are heading out, but it's not going to be for a while. So keep your gear on, but go relax, but wait with your gear. So we went back to our tents, sat on our bunks, laid on our bunks, but we had our stuff ready. So when we did get the call, it was a matter of just going. We don't know the day or hour, but I say again, Jesus is coming again. We need to be ready. We should always expect him to come at any time. We could leave here today and he's coming. It could be tomorrow, next week, next year. It could be 150 years from now. We do not know. So what does waiting expectantly look like for all of us? What does waiting expectantly look like for First Lutheran Church? Well, maybe for First Lutheran, it looks like taking the time to do the coffee cart for the church on Sunday mornings. That's awesome. Or work the pro presenter every week. We got a couple of people that does that. That helps tremendously. Or maybe it's even taking time to serve the community for the meals, or helping with funeral luncheons, or pitching in to get gifts off the tree to make an adopt-a-family very happy at Christmas, something that they might not get otherwise. Or maybe you're out and about and find someone in distress and help them out with no thoughts of repayment, just simple kindness of the heart way. Remember, in Matthew 22 earlier, in the chapter, Jesus said, the second greatest commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. All these I've talked about, I feel is what waiting looks like to me. So again, I ask, what does waiting expectantly look like to you? And with that, I say, thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Does anybody have any special prayer requests?
Yeah, Mike, you want to keep the family and friends of Dorothy Haas?
Sorry to hear that.
Jerry.
Anybody else? Anyone else? In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, the whole creation.
God of the people, we come seeking wisdom, instructions. Uphold our strength and lay leaders, teachers, deacons, pastors, and bishops. Teach us your ways and lead us in your paths. God of grace,
God of the earth, we seek your goodness in the grandeur of creation. Empower us to care for forests and oceans as we see you in the world around us. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of nations, grant wisdom to leaders, judges, and mediators. Cast out words of hate and transform them into words
for building up community.
Remake implements to sow of war, sow peace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of healing, bring comfort and strength. We pray for our kindred and companions who are ill or despairing, especially Tony, Kyle, Marlene, Joyce, Chloe, Ed Knopfsinger, Jerry, and those on our long-term homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer list. We also pray especially for the family and friends of Dorothy Haas and those we name either aloud or silence or in the silence of our hearts. Surround all with care and in consolation, God of grace.
Possibilities. When addiction wounds, jealousy tears down, and relationships fray, show us how to journey with one another. Nurture therapists, counselors, and sponsors in their care for others. God of grace,
draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share the sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Nourishing God, you are water in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Through this meal, satisfy our parched places that we may rejoice and be for the world signs of your kingdom to come. Amen.
Please respond with the following. We give thanks and praise. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
By your word, we called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts. Freedom from captivity, water on the desert, a pathway from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of the world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw us near to all who call on you. For your word of life, O God. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
we're still doing a noisy offering for the adoptive family. Midweek Advent services will be held at St. Paul Lutheran Church at 7 p.m. starting this Wednesday, December 3rd. Those of you that don't know where it's in North Robinson, right there on Main Street. We are sponsoring a family for Christmas. There's a small tree out here in the gathering area. If you want to help, take a tag or two and sign your name on the sheet that matches the number on the tag to help spread the joy. Wrap the gifts with the tags on the gift, and all gifts are due before December 14th. The poinsettias have been ordered by a new supplier this year. The cost of each one is $13. And if you have any questions about those, please contact the church office. CCSG is in need of food pantry items, canned vegetables and fruit, all-purpose baking mix, syrup, and volunteer sign-up sheet and donation boxes out there in the gathering area. Also, I would like to personally thank everyone who was involved with the Friendsgiving dinner, whether you donated time, donated food, whatever it was. It was a great success this year. We served a total of 68 meals, so that was a great turnout, and I don't like to put this kind of stuff out there, but there were some people that needed help, and they came up to me and asked about the family that needed stuff for Christmas, and they tried to get with Community Action Center, and they were too late for the Adopt a Family program, so I took their name and information, and they're going to be taken care of this year by a few other people that was helping out with the Friendsgiving dinner. So another family's going to be helped also. So the Friendsgiving dinner did not just feed people, but it's going to take care of another family for Christmas too. So that's how this these meals help out the community in more ways than one. So yes. And also in the community, Girl Scout Troop 1792, they also came, a couple of the girls came and helped also. So if you see any of the Cindy Connor, I don't know if you know her or not, but her girls came and helped out. So if you see her or if you know anybody from that Girl Scout troop, thank them for helping out also. And those of you that was here, thank you for a wonderful job. I can't express enough how much you helped us and helped out this year. It was great. So anybody else have any? No? All right. With that, with the blessing, may God who comes among us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, grant you patience in waiting, peace, and in the darkness, and good news to share today and always. Amen.